important to say to you. And it's this, that our Heavenly Father thinks a great deal about ordinary men and women. Our Heavenly Father thinks a great deal about ordinary women, just like you and me. And I've got two reasons for saying that. Of course, the first reason is because his Son entered humanity. He became a man like us and lived a life on this world, a life of teaching and example and healing. And finally he laid down that life and took it again and rose again from the dead. But secondly, God thinks a lot of ordinary people like you and me because he wants the news, the good news of Jesus, to be shared with everyone in the world. And to do this, he uses miracles, dreams and visions, a still small voice, but mainly he uses people like you and me. Now that's an amazing privilege, that God has chosen us to share with other people the blessings that we get from following Jesus. And all we have to do is to tell them what it's like and what we've enjoyed and what we've experienced. And Paul, in writing to the Romans, said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one whom they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching or sharing the news with them? And how can they do this unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who come bearing good tidings." And that brings us to our reading, in which we find that Peter says that you and I are first of all peculiar people. Now I know it says chosen people, but I was brought up on the Authorized Version. Some of you may be old enough to share in that experience. But in any case, I like alliteration because it helps you to remember what God has given me to say. So I say, first of all, that we are a peculiar people. Always enjoyed this verse in the old days because it made us laugh. But I'm glad we're meeting in Essex, because in the 1860s there grew up a work of the Holy Spirit in village chapels, and groups of people got together and formed fellowships, and they called themselves the Peculiar People. Now they did this because of the word peculiar in the Bible. In the Old Testament, if you look it up, you'll find that God mentioned several times that he has chosen out a peculiar people, peculiar to himself. And these people, they didn't believe in a trained ministry, and they were mainly, the congregations were mainly composed of village folk, but they prospered and they grew, and the Lord blessed their services. Prayer meetings, healing prayer meetings, and they were very noisy, and they grew and grew and grew. I like to think that for harvest festival time, they could really sing the praises of God, because 95% of the congregation will have helped to actually bring in the corn and the fruit and all the rest of it. Well, as time passed, of course, and by the time we get to the 1960s, they began to realize that the name was actually a drawback, and so they called themselves evangelical churches. Well, that sounds a bit dull, doesn't it, after peculiar people. But let's look a bit more closely at the word peculiar. My dictionary tells me that it means odd. Well, if you're a Christian, you're the odd one out very often in the crowd. But it tells me that it means exclusively belonging and also special. But what did the writer, what did Peter mean when he was using this? Well, he didn't actually use that word, of course. But the word peculiar comes from a Latin word which means private property, more peace, private property. And God, you see, can look at us and say, there's my private property. We are God's. We belong to him. Now, unless you get too carried away by this, I should say that the dictionary also tells me that it was a word used by Romans, especially to describe cattle. So you see, a farmer could look in the field and see his cows wandering about, and he would say, those cows are peculiar, because they're my private property. But God says that to us. Not only that, the word, the New Testament, of course, was circulated in Greek, which was the New Testament Greek, was the lingua franca of the Mediterranean area, and everybody spoke that as well as their own language. And the word used in the Greek version means a priceless purchase. Priceless purchase. You're peculiar people, that means you're God's private property, and it also means that you're his priceless purchase. Because you see, it's not a bargain buy, but it's something that God values highly, and that he regards as really valuable, because his son died for us. And that was the price paid for our knowing God, that Jesus died on the cross for us. He gave his life for you and for me. That's how much God loves you. He gave his son. So, I don't know how you came in this morning, but you can go out feeling you are someone special. Because God loves you, he regards you as his private property, and he Christlessly purchased you with the blood of Jesus. Now, secondly, we find that these people are a purposeful people to declare the praises of him who called you. That's our purpose. Do you ever think that God chose you and saved you and has kept you so far because you are the cleverest, the strongest, the brightest, and the best of people? Well, some of you, I'm sure, are. Let's be quite honest about that. But really, God chose you because he loves you, and because he wants you to praise him as much as you can. Now, again, going back to the expert books I've got at home, declare is a New Testament word used nowhere else in the New Testament. So it's almost a word that Peter made up in order to describe what he wants us to do. And although I can't pronounce the Greek word, it's spelt E-X-A-G-G-E-L-L-O. And it reminds me of the word exaggerate. Exaggerate. So it's almost as though Peter is saying, I want you to talk God up a bit. Now, that's a bit odd, isn't it? We've been singing the praises of God, who is absolutely the creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty, the wonderful one. And yet Peter says, talk him up a bit. And really, we've nothing to be ashamed of in talking about our Saviour or about the benefits of the Christian life. So it doesn't matter if we exaggerate them a bit. So tomorrow morning, if somebody says to you, what did you do over the weekend? You can say, I went to church on Sunday. The worship raised the roof and it made me feel good. The fellowship was great and it made me feel accepted and that people really liked me. And the preaching was terrific. No, you better not, don't exaggerate too much. But you get the idea that we should talk God up. I mean, everybody does these days. You talk to anybody and they didn't just have a nice evening, they had an absolutely tremendous time. Well then, let's do a bit of that with God. Now we have an advantage here, because we've just spent 20 minutes, and we do every Sunday morning, praising our God and King. Because we're sounding forth the praises of Him who's called us out of darkness. Now, that's wonderful. Now, sometimes I find I haven't got the breath. It's a drawback of old age, shortage of breath. But I see, I can't say that anymore, because we sang this morning, God's breath in our lungs. Thank you, Toby. It's God's breath in us that is singing our praise. But the point is, what I'm getting at, is that we're fulfilling this verse, this request, this command of Peter, to sing the praises of Him who's called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. And every Sunday morning we sing out the praises of God. But that's only part. I read yesterday that St. Francis of Assisi said that we should let everybody know about the gospel of Christ. And if necessary, we should do it by words. So of course we do it with our actions, but words are very important. We have good news. God loves us. Now, I don't know about you, but very often we put the news on the television, and after we've heard the headlines, we usually switch off, because there's nothing much worth listening to. But God, the news about God is always worth listening to. Okay, so the weather is very mixed, but God sends the rain on the just and the unjust for a purpose. We may feel alone and forsaken, but God is with us. And He loves us. We may have countless aches and pains, but God gives us breath and strength sufficient for the day. We may in this week be facing awful problems, but God knows the way through the wilderness, and all we have to do is trust Him. And all God wants us to do is to share our knowledge of experience with others as the as opportunity arises, and with grace, as Peter says somewhere else, with courtesy and grace. So we're a peculiar people, and we're a purposeful people, but also we're a powerful people. We're a powerful people because we're the people of God. It's interesting that Peter says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You see, we're not just a scattered bunch of non-entities. We're all in this together. We're not on our own. We support and pray for one another, and we are part of the people of God. We've been bought with a tremendous price. We are chosen. We are given His Holy Spirit to guide and empower and enthuse and enlighten us so that we can share the blessings we have with other people. Now, a dozen of us are in Sri Lanka, and we pray for them in a harsh climate and with strange food. Someone's already had a tummy upset, I hear. But in one way, we pray for them that they will be blessed and used of God as they share the love of God in action as well as in word. But in one sense, it's easier for them to witness, because people will ask them, why are you here? You're not on holiday. Why have you come? Why are you putting up with all these strange foods and so on? May God give them wisdom and grace to tell of the love of God. But may God also make them wise. Because you see, there are some people that it is better that they don't know why our friends are there. Because they're in a Buddhist country. And there are even extremist Buddhists who will not want Christianity shared. So we pray for them, for their safety, and that God will bless their mission. But you see, we're also on a mission to share the love of God with others. We can do this because God has called us and saved us and equipped us to serve Him. So may we in this coming week be ready to share the good news of Jesus with someone that we meet. Now I'm going to close with a prayer for all of us who are followers of Jesus, that we will do this, but first for those who maybe never realize that God has called them, you, to follow Him and to serve Him. Or perhaps you felt this morning that God wants you to recommit your life, to share in the blessings that He gives and the ministry that He wants us to undertake. You want to become a special person. Well, let's pray. Now, shall we? Let's all pray, but especially a prayer for those who want to become a follower of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your love for me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sake. Forgive me, Lord, for leaving you out of my life. I want to turn around and follow you. I want to tell forth your praises to others. Please forgive me and give me the grace and the strength to share your love with others. Help me to do this, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen. And now a prayer for followers of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God, for saving me. Thank you that you call me your treasured possession. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me and rose again on the third day, and that you ever live to make intercession for me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, who lives within me and comforts, strengthens, and empowers me.